anti-fur campaigners scored a victory last week in the High Court last week, allowing their weekly Saturday protests to continue, basically unhindered, as they have done since last October. Harrods is the last department store in the UK to carry real fur items, and fur farming was banned 5 years ago by the government. The ongoing legal battle has incurred up to £150,000 worth of legal costs, which Harrods have now agreed to pay. The store's legal tactics backfired badly. In evidence revealed to the court, two people who joined the protest in April revealed to be private undercover agents. But as the campaigners' tactics were demonstrated by this to be peaceful and reasonable, the evidence gathered worked in the protesters' favour and the protests continue. For more, see the CAFT website, that's the Campaign Against the Fur Trade, caft.org.uk/Harrods.
Now for cycling weather.
A moderate prevailing southwesterly airstream caresses the capital today with big puffy cumuli and blue skies to look at, which should help morale if you're ploughing into it, and temperatures are a balmy 20 degrees Celsius, just about perfect. Particulate levels are high once again in Brent's Neasden Lane and in Ealing's Horn Lane, and on Brixton Road, nitrogen dioxides are in the moderate range. Motorists, thank you. The cycling weather is compiled from data from the Met Office and the London Air Quality Network. See londonair.org.uk.
Corporate contractors are hard at work in Aldermaston in Berkshire, busily developing the Orion laser facility, which enables complex nuclear materials testing and will partially circumvent the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty. Over the last 12 months, there have been regular blockades of the site in an attempt to cut the profitability of the project as big as Heathrow's Terminal 5. BlockTheBuilders.org.uk is calling for contractors who don't want to cooperate with building weapons of mass destruction to call in sick on Monday the 10th of July or just get a new job. Those who don't work there but believe it is wrong to conspire to incinerate millions of innocent people can join the blockade.
In January this year, the Minister for Planning approved Health Hazards Materials Plan for the Barrick Gold Mine at Laca Lake Coal in New South Wales. The plan was made public on 28th of April, the day the mine officially opened. The plan, it was revealed, approved 6,090 tonnes of sodium cyanide annually to be shipped from its place of manufacture in Gladstone on the coast north of Brisbane by rail to Sydney and then inland by road and rail to West Wyalong. Sodium cyanide is essential to the process of separating gold from its ore, but leaves a toxic residue that can leach into water sources. None of the communities along this route have ever been consulted about this plan. Here, Graham Dunstan is in conversation with Sydney's Indian media, Kiran, about the potential hazard.
There is a widespread discontent in this land. Mm. The Iraq war has brought the American hegemony to ruin. Right? This is what's happening. So all the legitimization, the globalization has come to a screeching halt. People are in vast reaction to it. That's what the snow rejection
is. We're just going to discuss the cyanide route, the route of evil, and where it's going to pass. And I think it's going to pass pretty close to us, isn't it?
That's right. It is. But we chased down the cyanide route for the Lake Cowell gold mine, specifically, Lee Rhiannon, New South Wales Green, in the upper house, New South Wales House, persisted with questions. The government ducked and weaved. We couldn't get it out of them. They have to pass a cyanide, what's it called, a hazardous, transport of hazardous material plan. Any gold mine requires one of these. No one's ever asked before, right? Yeah. And eventually they released the information, but only on the day the mine officially opened, which, mind... They were happy not to tell people about this.
Yeah.
And we were shocked to learn. We knew it was going to be 6,000 tonnes a year, but we were shocked to learn that it's coming down the main trunk line from Gladstone through Brisbane to Sydney, then across Sydney to Parramatta by truck, and then over the Blue Mountains, the catchment for most of Sydney's water supply, to Dubbo. So guess what towns are on the trunk line, folk?
Yeah.
Casino and Kyogle.
Our local towns,
Rainbow Region towns. We're talking about the headwaters of the Richmond River here, and then later it crosses the Clarence River. Mm. So we've got major transport. Now, people say rail transport's the safest. Well, it is if you compare it to road transport. Yeah. But hang on, rail transport accidents do happen. There was one in 92 in Condobolin, which I've... got the newspaper clips now, so at last I'm clear about the story. In 92, it was a semi-trailer stuck on a level crossing, hit by a freight train that was on its way on the Intercontinental Line, right? two locomotives were derailed,
yep,
and four trucks following them. It ripped up track for over half a kilometre, at least half a kilometre. The semi-trailer, two occupants were killed instantly, and it was rendered into mangled, you know, bits of steel, yep, unrecognisable, yep. And one trailer contained two containers of cyanide pellets,
yep,
which split open and spread up the line, right?
Yeah.
The town was put on red alert for 3 days. Mm. One of the first things closed was the airport, right? Yeah. They figured that if it rained, hydrogen cyanide gas would be formed and blow in the direction of the town and the airport.
Yeah.
But I think the airport, since it wasn't closed by local government, was actually closed by aviation. I think it was closed to keep the media out. Right, because this story appeared once in the Sydney Morning Herald, it was in the Lachlander, no one else knows about it, it was kind of hush up.
Yeah.
It took 3 days to clean up the pellets,
mm,
in which time, luckily, it did not rain. Yeah, Condobolin's a pretty dry place. 3 days, guess who cleaned up the pellets?
Boy,
you're going to say, the manufacturer, Orica, yeah, aren't you? No. You're going to say, the mining company took responsibility for it. No. You're going to say, well, the rail authority who contracted to transport this, now a private company called Patrick, now Toll,
yeah,
a multinational, took responsible for this. No. Local fire brigade volunteers worked for 3 days to clean this up, folks. When these accidents happen, it becomes a local responsibility. You're never asked if you want it through your community.
Yeah.
You're never asked if you want to be complicit, yeah, in the poisoning of water in faraway places. This cyanide was destined for Kalgoorlie, right? Mm. It was travelling across the country to poison water out in the west. All the towns on the way were put at risk for the greed of one locator in Australia, you know? One multinational, it's a combination of American interests own it now, the biggest pit in Australia. So multinationals profit from this.
Mm.
A few local jobs are made. We're talking about hundreds,
yeah,
not thousands. A few local jobs. The wealth's exported, the poisons are left behind. Why are we being made complicit in this environmental crime by allowing it to pass through our communities? Yeah?
Yeah.
So anyway, John, are you into it? Don Peace has just entered the studio. we're going to do an action, a cyanide watch action. Hey, John.
Hey?
Oh, yeah.
So
what's casino
happening? So there's going to be protests. There's going
to
be,
we'll go out to the casino. We'll start the process. It's eventually we're going to stop the cyanide. We're going to step in, let them know it's not going to pass,
yeah,
right? But in the meantime, we're going to raise consciousness by doing actions and get the point across. So I passed through a casino a couple of days ago and dropped in on a butcher shop there and got talking to a guy, local, regular town Joe, who ran a small business, right? His family came from Drake, so he knew about gold mining and what gold miners left behind. It was like cyanide ponds were not unfamiliar to him. But he was gobsmacked when he realised that the cyanide passing through a casino was of the order, we don't know for sure, 30,000 tonnes a year.
Mm.
Yeah? That's a lot of cyanide, folks. Mm. That's a lot of poisoned water.
So
anyway, listen to this radio station. Kieran, you'll let us know. You'll put out the word when you promote it. Good on you.
And that was audio from Indie Media in Sydney. Closer to home, we go to Campsfield, where over 120 people detained there have gone on hunger strike to protest at their indefinite detention without trial and the conditions that they face. And I hope we have Kat on the line, who's outside Campsfield now. Is that right?
Hello, that's right.
Hi, Kat. Dougie from Indie Media here. So can you tell us a bit more about why the people have gone on hunger strike there?
The hunger strike was triggered by an attempted suicide on Tuesday night by a Somalian man who heard that he was going to be sent back home. Now the hunger strike has started mainly as a protest against their detainment, but also about the conditions inside, which have apparently worsened since GEO has taken over.
Yes, GEO is the company formerly known as Wackenhut, the private security firm. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I understand that the conditions have worsened. Can you be more specific about what kind of things have happened?
I can't be specific. We're not allowed inside at the moment, but the detainees have written a letter saying that the food has got worse and that the attitudes of some members of staff have been very hostile.
Right, and how long do they plan to continue the hunger strike then?
At the moment, indefinitely. We hear there are still 15 people on hunger strike.
Right, so they've now been on hunger strike for 3 days.
Oh, no, this is the eighth day.
The eighth day of a hunger strike, goodness. And are they taking water?
I'm afraid I can't tell you that.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay, so 15 continue. How many people are in Campsfield altogether?
We believe around 120.
Right, so these are people who are being held because their immigration claims are failed and they're going to be deported.
No, a lot of them, their immigration is still pending and they don't know whether they'll be granted asylum.
Right, so what can people listen to the show do to support the detainees there?
Write to your local MP and to the Home Office expressing your opposition to detention and saying that asylum seekers should be housed in the community as a vast majority of asylum seekers continue to be.
Okay, and are you planning any more actions out there in the near future?
If the hunger strike continues, we will indeed be holding a vigil next week to express our support with the detainees inside.
Mm. Okay, well, of course, you can get more detail about all of the situation at Campsfield on the Indie Media website. Is there any website that you'd like to promote, just where people can check in for info about that?
Yep, there is a Closed Campsfield website. I believe it's www.closedcampsfield.org.
That's brilliant. Kat, is there anything else you want to tell us?
No, I'm a member of the Oxford Student Action for Refugees group, and generally there's a STAR student network in every university. It's a good idea to get involved in the post-detainment of asylum seekers.
Great. Kat, that's fantastic. Thanks very much indeed for your time today. Really appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
Okay, good luck. Bye. Now, where are we? Ah, I think we are going to play some music.
Sail around Australia, there's a crop of barren stone where the heathen, aboriginal, ignorance can roam. We saw them naked and we called them savages, passing fire from hand to hand. Saw them fish, we were farmers, and we saw their fertile land. Well, the seas run high around Tasmania. We set the course gun on the port bow, and if some convicts raped and murdered, well, it was only blacks. Sometimes a passing whale of pudding, and they took some black girls for some sport. With the settlers came the preachers, then soldiers to the fort. Sheep they spread throughout the island, and the towns they began to grow. Black blood and white money, oh, they began to flow. And with our dogs and our guns and our muskets, we drove them forth into the wilderness. We killed and starved and then paid a preacher to bring in what was left. Names and clothes and then education. Civilization is what we gave. White men's disease and white men's liquor. And we gave them white men's graves. All the benefits of this white man's magic. Even the dead they could not escape. We took their bones into our museums just to prove the link between men and they. And now the sun sets upon our empire. History leaves us all to our fate. We who came here to teach learned only too much to learn, and we learned too late. So if you sail around Australia, well, there's a coast of barren stone where the peaceful Aboriginal and in all sense to roam. And now England's power and glory in your name, this was done in the name of the Bible and the gun. I said now, England's power and glory in your name, all this was done in the name of the Bible and the gun.